So we are with Mr. Michael Moorcock at the Utopial. Hello.
Hello.
What is your feeling to be in Nantes for the Utopial once again?
Very good. I love coming to Nantes. It's my favorite French city after Paris, I'm afraid, I have to say. But we've always loved coming to Nantes. We've come here not just to Utopial, but of course my publisher's here too. So I've got every good reason to come to come here.
You've got a lot of project, I suppose. Would it be on your own, or would it be some four hands writing, as you did with Fabrice Collin, for example, for the last Elric book?
They'd be on my own, yes. I mean, I very, very rarely collaborate. I think I've done it twice before. Mm-hmm. And so I enjoy doing it, but I don't think I'd do it again. It's actually easier than just doing it just me, but I think I'm having to go back to taking my own punches.
Dealing with the last Elric book with Fabrice Collin that we interviewed last year, could you explain your impression about the writing of this book, especially?
Yes, I think Fabrice brought a really interesting perspective to Elric, which hadn't been done before. And the way in which he organized it was very good. I liked it very much.
Science fiction or fantasy or steampunk or whatever it is, does it change something in your writing process?
No, I don't, because I don't really, as I say, I try to escape genre all the time, so that's the only thing that happens is if a genre kind of develops around something that I've done, whether it, you know, by whatever method means, spontaneous means, it means that I then have to try to escape that genre, because I hate being constrained by genre. I'm constantly trying to write my own books, and since the 60s I saw science fiction and fantasy as being just a means of expanding my own range as a writer. But I don't see myself as being simply a science fiction or fantasy writer. I see myself as being a novelist who uses certain ideas. Some of those ideas are definitely science fiction and fantasy. But I don't see myself as being a science fiction or fantastic writer, because, of course, I write other kinds of fiction. But there's a certain kind of imagination, of course, which I have, which is going to be attracted to science fiction and fantasy, and which people who read science fiction and fantasy are going to like. And I don't mind that. I mean, I'm not saying, there are some people, particularly in the United States, who say, I'm not a science fiction writer, like Margaret Atwood, for instance. I understand what she means, but it'd be ridiculous for me to say I don't write science fiction or I don't write fantasy, because, of course, I've written huge amounts of it. But that's it, yeah.
Can you tell us a little more about the new printing that will be done and the e-book that will be out in a couple of months? I read on multiverse.org that there will be some new edition with ads from the first.
There's a whole new edition of pretty much all of my fantastic books. Mm-hmm. But that was a publisher's decision. So they will be the final definitive editions. I don't intend to rewrite at all. But I can't help rewriting a little bit every time a new edition comes out. But not very much this time. It's just going to be what they call a uniform edition. But they're not just e-books. They're also print books.
It's omnibus.
Yeah.
Do you know if there will be the same thing in France?
No, I don't think so. The difference being that in England I have one publisher for pretty much all the fantastic books, which is Victor Gallant's, whereas in France I have different different publishers. It's the same in America. I have different publishers in America, so it's not possible to bring them all together. They're under different contracts, and you know, there's a different history. So no, I think it's very unlikely that would happen. Unfortunately, yeah. I'd like it to happen. But.
A word about the theme of the Utopials this year, which is origins. What does that mean for you?
Nothing. I mean, I didn't know that.
Okay.
Sorry. what do they mean, origins? You don't know either.
It's really large, and on the book there is a lot of short stories, and it's everything about Big Bang Theory to Neil Gaiman, who wrote something about a guy who disinvents stuff,
mm-hmm.
and. So it's anything about origins.
Nope. I'm sorry.
Our last question this year is, if you had the ability to give birth to one of your character, which one would it be, and what this character could do nowadays?
Well, I mean, it'd be Jerry Cornelius, and I'm still writing about him. And he deals with the modern world, you know, the contemporary world. The last one is set in America, mostly, and deals with, among other things, deals with the Navajo. I mean, it's just a story, just riffing off various southwestern American ideas. He was created in order for me to be able to do that, so that I wanted a character that I could use in any situation, in any circumstances. And Jerry's been living in Paris for some time, oddly enough, exactly the same as me. but that's it, really. It's all as Jerry Cornelius in the end. I mean, he because he can be reborn, he's reborn all the time. So it's easy. There's no difficulty at all with that.
A last word, maybe in French, if you know some?
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not. And she'll tell you. I seize up immediately. I had a terrible experience when I was 15, and I came to Paris for the first time. And in those days, everybody was incredibly rude. I mean, well, in Paris, they were notorious for it. And here I am, a 15-year-old boy, trying to speak my little bit of French, and they just shat on me. I mean, and to the point where I now can barely speak. I speak, and the longer I'm here, the better I speak. But I couldn't frame anything very good at all. You know, I can speak to the baker and the butcher, but I'm not very good at anything else.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome.